Welcome to Minute 17 of The Great Escape Minute, the daily podcast where we dig into The Great Escape 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and once again, Tom is still in the cooler, so he's not going to be able to join us this week because the Wi-Fi doesn't seem to be working there. But joining me today is Todd Liebenow of The Forgotten Filmcast. Todd?
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Always fun. All right, so Minute 17 starts off with Tat from one of the Russian prisoners, and goes all the way till you see a German officer responding to Danny. As we mentioned yesterday, the minute ended with Danny running his hand through his throat. It makes it look like he's scratching his head or whatever, but now we actually understand why he was doing that, because he realized that everyone else is wearing some sort of hat. He's bareheaded, but something seems to be missing. So he decided to find a way to resolve that situation. So he just steals someone's hat, which is what you would always do. You
know, now, the other guy has no hat.
He just takes a hat from the guy. Yeah, but that other guy, he's old. So,
if Charles Bronson needs a hat, Charles Bronson takes a hat. I mean, you know.
And he just says, thank you. That's all he does.
That's the way it goes.
You know, he doesn't even try to do anything else. And the Russian doesn't even react.
No, the other guy is completely unfazed. You know, he barely even flinches that this other guy reaches over and grabs his hat. He's just like, hey, that's my hat type of thing. It's just, go ahead, take the hat. What do I care? You know, I guess maybe they just take hats all the time in this line. You know, the people just grab hats. I mean, they're one hat short, and so they all take turns snatching hats from each other or something like that.
It could be. I mean, I'm concerned about lice.
I'm sure there is a health lice population in that line. Yes, I have absolutely no doubt about that.
The line and in the camp, exactly. So that would be an interesting thing to, you know, maybe that's why earlier.
Now, I was thinking the exact same thing. Now, do the lice try to escape? Do they have a team of Nazi, lice guards that keep the other prisoner lice from trying to escape from the camp?
Maybe so. But again, as we know that the Russian is going to get his hat back, so basically get out.
Yeah.
That's the real great escape.
But now the lice are mixing. They're mixing the Russian lice with the Bronson lice. You know, the Bronson lice obviously are going to, they'll be fighting it out on the scalp there. That's a whole nother movie right there. That's an animated spinoff of The Great Escape, where you have little animated lice, and they're fighting it out there. It's little, you know, World War II lice style on the scalp of this half-bald Russian guy that Bronson stole the hat from. Let's get Pixar on that right away. Hit with that.
Todd, you've got some great ideas so far. You got to start patenting these things.
Hey, send me out to Hollywood to pitch. Yeah, absolutely, man. What am I doing here?
Copywriting them. Well, besides giving out your ideas. So someone
I'm
else
losing
can
out
steal
on
them.
My millions, I'm telling you.
That's right. Now, what I find funny is when after he takes the hat, if you see in the background, you see there's just two guys hanging out of a window, just taking a look. It's like, I got nothing to do, so why don't I just watch these Russian prisoners leave the camp?
Well, you got to make the extras earn their pay. And there's a lot of extras in this whole basic sequence of the movie. These various minutes that surround this scene, there's a lot of activity going on in the background of all these moments.
Yeah, that's very true. But what I found very interesting is if you notice, most of the cases of the extras in the background, they're in pairs.
Yes.
Sometimes you'll have three together, but you don't have like big groups. So it's everyone found their best friend, and this is my
yes.
buddy. This is my
and they
moving
have the buddy.
Buddy
system there in the camp. That's very important for safety.
That's right. That goes back to Toy Story. You know, you got Pixar. You know, the whole idea of who's your moving buddy.
Right, and the lice, they have their own buddy system as well, so it goes for all of them.
There you go. And so at this point, Sedgwick starts looking at Danny, and it seems as what's going through him, saying to himself, okay, what does Danny know here that I don't? what is he going, how is he going to try to, what's his, maybe he'll help me, and I mean, this is such a great interaction between the two of them coming up, because it makes no sense whatsoever. but it's still just a fun.
It's one of the best funny moments of the film. I mean, it's one that jumps out at me all the time. It was just, you know, for the funny moments of The Great Escape.
Okay, which is why you should be happy that you got this week to come and discuss it with us.
Yeah, yeah.
So basically, Sedgwick asks Dan, "What Russian do you know?" And he says, "Oh, I only know one." "Oh, what's the phrase?" And he tells him, "Ya vost lubyu."
Ya vost lubyu. Yeah, I was trying to figure out exactly what the breakdown. Ya vost lubyu.
Ya vost lubyu. And Cedric repeats it three times. And you'd think that Danny would start cracking up at this point because he knows what he just said to him. And he doesn't know. And they continue walking. And Danny, he's holding the axe. And, you know, he starts, he buttons up his coat a little bit, moves his hat a little bit. And, you know, while Cedric is continuing to say, Ya vas la blu, which makes you wonder why none of the Russians are actually looking at him to try and figure out why he's saying that.
Yeah. Yeah. The other guy should be turning around going, what, you talking to me?
Exactly.
You talking to me?
and then Cedric looks at him and says, what does it mean? It means I love you. He goes, what bloody good is that? And he goes, well, I wasn't going to use it myself.
I'm kind of thinking like, all right, Coburn, if you don't want to use that is, then I can't explain it to you.
It's just really, really strange. Now I actually went and did a little bit of research on this because something just didn't seem right. It seemed a little off, this phrase. I actually have a Russian woman who works in my office. So I showed her and I said to her, I said, uh-oh. Is he saying this correctly?
It means something else, doesn't it?
She looked at me and she says, well, what he's saying really does mean I love, but that is not the way someone would say it. Apparently in Russian, there's, I guess you can somewhat call it the royal we.
Okay.
Which is part of the, please, anyone who knows Russian, please forgive me, I'm not an expert on this. This is based on what I understood from what was being told to me is that, It's more like saying Ya vas lublu is a way in the royal we, which again, as an English speaker, I'm not really sure what that really means. It's not something you would say to another person. What you would say to them is,
like,
Ya lublu tvebya. Something like that. That's how you would say if you were saying to someone, I love you. Now, I can't really say that this is a mistake in the movie because, you know, Danny doesn't really know Russian. Doesn't really make a difference. Someone told him that phrase at some point. I've always inferred every single time that I've seen this movie that he heard it. He had maybe a Russian lover at some point and she said that to him or whatever, which obviously now understanding that that's not the way someone would say it. That sort of burst that bubble as to how he would have heard this. But like I said, what I was told is this isn't really the way that people would say that. You know, I found that to be interesting that the way that they do that. But his response of just saying I wasn't going to use it is just great.
I suppose the fact that he's saying it wrong explains why the Russian guys in line with him aren't turning around and you know being like you talking you know.
No, I would think even worse, the opposite. I would think if I was walking somewhere and I hear someone speaking improper English, I would look to try and figure out why they're speaking improper English.
I suppose it could go either
you know, maybe,
way.
Maybe this is like a Yoda way of saying it. You know, maybe that's what it is.
That's it.
But then again.
So, yeah, it's like the backwards way of talking. So, yeah, he's.
Love you, I don't know.
So Danny's Russian lover was Russian Yoda. Got it.
There you go. That makes sense. That's a possibility. But then again, if I were to hear someone speaking in Yoda English, I would also turn around. You know, that's me. Maybe these guys are just so burned out already. I mean, you can see how they all look completely sunburnt. I mean, once he takes the hat off, the old guy, you can see that he's got a reddish brownish hue. Which actually makes it believable that he's been working outside. I mean, there's also the guy with the mustache right behind Bronson, who's pretty. He looks like a beet. You know, he's so red.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you wouldn't wear that hat the whole time. I mean, those are furry, warm hats. I mean, it gets hot out there cutting down trees. You know, I mean, you're going to take that hat off. You're going to get
right. But we also it's never established in the movie what month this is. You know, it could be that it's a little colder now. It could be that it's not. I don't know. I mean, we know that the escape in the movie takes place in July. The real escape took place in March.
Okay.
And the according to the book, it took them about a year for all this planning. In the movie, it doesn't take a year. It seems, based on the timeline and the way things happen here, that 2 months, maybe three, something like that. So if it's July, so let's say this is April, May, something like that. So it could be this.
It is hard to get a gauge on what the temperature is, because there are some guys that are bundled up, and there are some other guys that are a little bit lighter on the padding there. So yeah, I was watching this, just exactly how cold it is out there. Where did they film this, though? I mean, you know,
it's filmed in Bavaria. It's filmed very close to where it took place.
Okay. So
I couldn't tell you what month of the year they filmed this. That's a separate issue. That we'd have to really delve into research to find out when they filmed this scene.
Yeah. Come on, Rob, get on it. Jeez.
Yeah. I mean, I if I remember correctly, they were able to do almost all of the within about 2 months, if I remember correctly. I'll have to check into that. Maybe tomorrow I'll have an answer for you for that.
Okay.
As to when they were actually did the production of this. That would actually be an interesting thing to check out. So moving along, we see that it shows once again the trucks with the trees moving along, driving out. We see two projectiles come off the roof.
In dramatic fashion, yes.
In order to get there.
Which, of course, unnoticed by the guards in the big towers, you know, way up above these rooftops.
Wait, what's unnoticed? The fact that they jumped?
Yeah, the fact that two guys go leaping in dramatic fashion off the roofs of these buildings onto a truck. I mean, are the guard towers just really not at all tuned in to the roofs of the buildings? I mean, I would be.
My bigger question was, is how did they get up on the roof?
I was wondering that same thing myself.
I mean, once they're able to get up on the roof and somehow, you know, be out of sight of, maybe they found more blind spots like hilts.
They have special coats that are covered in the same shingles that are on the roofs of the barracks, so they blend in. It's very unique camouflage, and they threw those off at the last moment and then leapt onto the trucks.
It could be. All right, well, regardless, we can't really tell who they are, but what they do is they quickly, you know, put all the parts of the trees up to hide themselves in there. They actually do a nice job of hiding themselves within those trees.
Yeah.
Then once again, we see the prisoners, we see the rest of the prisoners walking out of the gates, and we see Strachwitz taking a look, watching them all go by, and then he just, everyone. And it's interesting that they're all pretty... they respond very quickly. Everyone stops. They're, you know, you have all these Russians who we haven't been able to see all Russian soldiers or not. We know that some of them are wearing Russian soldier uniforms, military uniforms.
Which makes the Russian military much older in demographic, doesn't it?
I guess at this point they were just sending anyone they could. I mean, we know that the Germans did that at the end of the war, but Strachwitz takes a look and sees Cedric. Now, it's very interesting. Do you see what's... what's sticking out of Strachwitz's uniform?
No.
He has some sort of, it looks like a billfold or something like that. We're going to know tomorrow what it is, or later this week. It's just very strange if you take a look at it, that it's not something, if you're looking at second 43, you can see that it has something brown sticking out of the uniform, which doesn't look to be very comfortable.
Okay.
And then if you look at one of when he walks over to talk to Cedric, the guard next to him, do you see what he has in his belt? He's got two hand grenades. Now, what the hell do they need hand grenades in a POW camp? You know, I understand if the guards have guns, it's fine. You know, maybe you have nightsticks. But why do you need hand grenades?
It's to make things more interesting, you know? I mean... You know, it was hand grenade week, you know. One week they say, oh, let's mix it up again a bit. Let's have some hand grenades here. And next week we'll pull out a bazooka. You know, yeah, you got to make things interesting.
Or another trombone.
Trombone week, yeah, that happened already. So, yeah, trombone week and then hand grenade week, yeah.
And then you basically have Danny just does something really stupid here. No question about it.
Yes, I absolutely agree.
You know, Cedric gets caught. And what's Danny's response? No. Niet, Tavar. You know, hello? That I thought you were supposed to be trying to escape here. You know, what's the point of
he draws attention to himself. And you know, I mean, and Bronson, of course, you know, I guess he figured he would, because he sounds so authentically Russian.
Well, he's meant to be Polish, so you know, it's close.
Right.
It's close. And Schachowitz's response is just great, where he basically says, and who vouches for you, Lieutenant? And then the minute gets cut off. So we don't know what his last name is. Mm. But it makes you wonder, how does, you know, he actually did a lot of research before coming to this camp that he's already able to recognize.
Yeah, he knows everybody's name. You know, he's got all their details and all that down. I mean, you know, I started a new job at a new office about 8 months ago, and I'm still learning everybody's name. You know, and he's got it on day one. This guy's good management material, for a Nazi.
That's right. All right. Well, that's it for this minute. Do you have anything else that you wanted to add for this minute, Todd?
I think we're good.
All right. Great. Why don't you once again tell everyone how they can get in touch with you?
Forgotten Films is at forgottenfilmcast.wordpress.com. Go to your various podcast services to find my podcast, The Forgotten Filmcast, and find me on Twitter at Forgotten Films.
All right. And while you're doing that, you can come and rate, review, and subscribe to us on any podcatcher that you're using to listen to this podcast. You can send us an email at thegreatminute@gmail.com. You can come and visit us on our Facebook group, The Cooler. You can send us a tweet by Twitter to Great Escape MXM, or you can visit our website, thegreatescapeminute.com. So, tomorrow, tally-ho.
Yavasla Blue. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Tally-ho.